Call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council at 6 p.m. Tuesday, February 24th. I'll ask Councilman Bell to read our mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo? Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Chastain?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. Councilman Tungle and Councilman Longo are excused. Councilman Tungle's on the phone. He was from here. Okay. Councilman Longo's excused. Please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask Councilman Chastain to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Chastain. Welcome to all those in the council chambers and on the phone and Zoom. Thank you for being here this evening. We got a special guest. Okay. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Sashti and second by Councilman Bell. Luby? I heard both the same times. All right. Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. We have a motion and second to approve the proposed minutes of the regular meeting held February 10th, 2026, as presented.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of January 27th, 2026.
So, second.
It'd be February 10th, I'll second.
Councilman Bell? There's a move by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Bell. The council, if they have any objections, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next on our agenda are the reports. First, we have the January 2026 financial. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to invite our interim finance director, Jim Sharp, to the podium to present the January 2026 financials. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Margie. Good evening. It's great to be back. It's been a couple of months since I've been here, so it is nice to be back and work with staff and see council. You have in your packet a copy of the financial. I do have a couple of items that I wanted to touch base on, and obviously we'll entertain any questions that council members may have at the conclusion. As I always say, 7 months through the year, benchmark's about 58%. So anything over that on the revenue side, that's a good thing. Anything below that on the revenue side, not so good, or could be not so good. Expenses is just the opposite. Talking points specifically, raw seafood tax, if you see that number, January was a good month. We're at 65% of budget. I spoke with Frank Kelty this morning. He said February should be even more robust. We have a lot of crab that has come through. So we would anticipate raw seafood tax being a bit more robust in February. Sales tax, if you look here, again, we're on pace. It says here it's 69%, if I'm looking at this correctly. And that represents through the end of December, so essentially two quarters. And the payments came in January. So I think we're doing well there. I would expect that that will continue, particularly if we have a fairly robust A season that we are anticipating. On, again, just to continue the revenue, the electric revenue and the ports revenue are still lagging, as we've discussed previously. I've reached out to both directors. I believe Scott Brown has been ill, so I haven't received a response back from him on that quite yet, but I do know they're working on it. With respects to electric, they continue to work with industry to see if there's ways that they can enhance revenue and trying to build the infrastructure so that we can be more marketable. But it's not a month-to-month process. It's going to take a little bit of time. We expect that. He expects that we'll probably start seeing some of the fruits of that later this fall. So hopefully that takes place. There was a comment from a council member at a previous meeting regarding the airport revenue, and we've tended to budget that at the same amount on an annual basis. We haven't been able to meet that. I would fully expect that when you see the budget for FY27, the new number for the airport revenue will reflect that. It'll be a little bit lower, so hopefully we can meet that. That does, you know, obviously we know there's a lot that's going on out at the airport, trying to find ways to increase revenue. There's a lot of work that needs to be done with respect to repairs to make it a more palatable airport for the local community. In your packet, you have an Excel version of our sustainability fund. As you can see from that, January was a pretty decent month. There was a couple hundred thousand dollars increase in the portfolio. I believe it was Monday, maybe it was Friday, received an email from APCM, who manages our portfolio for us. They indicated that our portfolio as of that time was up over $51 million. So that money was invested in middle of December, so in a roughly 2 month time frame, we've already earned 2%. Caution you, that's not always going to be the case, but it is nice to see that it's already having some growth, which is the reason why we put it there, so that we can use it at some point in the future. While I'm here this week, myself, Kenny, the controller, Margie, and Abner, a city manager, have been meeting with staff directors to go through our budget process, go through our budget discussions with respect to their departments in preparation for presenting a budget to council later in the spring. We've met with a few departments. We expect to have more meetings tomorrow and Thursday. So far, the meetings have gone well. We're trying to adhere to as minimal growth as we can and making inquiries with directors, asking for support, and it's been a good discussion so that we can, again, provide a budget to council that we feel accurately reflects as best we can, knowing what we know, what we anticipate FY27 to look like. My final two items, I've been speaking with interim city manager. He was in Juneau last week. There were some presentations with respect to state budget and how we can implement some of those types of, there were some great presentations is what I've heard. Some great visuals, graphs, pictures are always better than numbers. I love numbers. I know that's not always the case with other people. So he has some graphs. We're gonna work to present something to council that will be a nice picture. And so they can see better where we're at, where we've been historically, revenues, expenditures, and kind of and work from that. And while I do have a report in the packet with respects to fund balances, that is another area we're working on to look to provide something that is more meaningful to council that incorporates what our cash balances are, what our fund balance is, what we've appropriated for the current year budget, and hopefully what falls out is what's available when requests are made for budget amendments, that sort of thing. With that, I know that was a lot, I apologize. I welcome any questions.
Well, thank you, Jim. Would council have any questions or comments? Financial? I guess there's not. How about Councilman Tungle? You got something?
No, thank you. Good presentation, Jim. Looking good. So hope it'll continue this way.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Myself, Councilman Shasti, and Councilman Tungo, Councilman Bell was there. in Juneau, and we did see the new layout presentation that was put together by PCR and Abner. Put together a pretty good program, leaflet to hand out that was very informative. And as we move forward, it'll get better. You know, our presentation will be more clear. So they liked their presentation, took a lot less time, but they got the point and we moved on.
Sometimes simplicity is best. And I have that information. I'm going to work towards getting that done as we move forward. And hopefully we can provide some meaningful information to council as they make their decisions. But thank you. It's always nice to be here. Appreciate the time you give me. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Good luck on Lights Out. Okay. Thanks. Next, we've got the city manager's report. Turn us over to the acting city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our interim manager, Abner Hoag, is joining us via Zoom, and he wanted to present his manager's report. So, Abner, take it away.
Thanks, Margie. Thank you, Mayor. I just have a couple brief items. I wanted to make the council aware of a topic that surfaced during our Juneau fly-in. Our meetings were focused on state legislators, but we did have a brief informal conversation with Senator Sullivan while we were at the hotel lobby one day. And during that exchange, he asked whether the community would support his interest in reopening ADAC. That led to a short discussion about some of the types of active support that Unalaska might be able to provide, including some of the kinds of regional support functions that we already perform today, logistics and supply chain sorts of things. Separately, Unalaska Corporation has shared an early stage concept for a potential logistics hub in Unalaska that's also aimed at strengthening regional support. And while both of these were distinct conversations, OC's concept is a natural evolution of the same theme, exploring how Unalaska's existing strengths could support regional needs, whether related to ADAC or the region more broadly. These discussions are very preliminary and no action is being requested from council tonight. I just want to keep you informed that these conversations occurred, and as more information becomes available on either topic, I'll bring that back to council for discussion and direction as appropriate. The other thing I just wanted to highlight from my written report is an update related to the February 10th directive regarding DMV training for the backup training for the police department. And staff has reviewed the training courses that we think could reasonably be accomplished during the remainder of this fiscal year relative to bringing back a budget amendment, and determined that the full $31,000 that we had originally discussed and that will be needed for full training won't be needed in the current fiscal year. We'll only need maybe $10,000 to $12,000 for this fiscal year, and that amount staff has researched and can be covered through line item transfers within the existing public safety budget. And so because these funds are available to reallocate internally, we do not need to bring forward a formal budget amendment. Instead, we'll continue to pursue identification and training of an existing staff member to serve in a backup capacity, and I will update council on any significant changes. And those are the items I wanted to highlight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Abner. Appreciate your information. Look forward to hearing more about the plans. Do you have anything to add?
I guess I could add two small things about the existing DMV office. You know, we had turbo tags out here for about 3.5 weeks. In that time, they did 309 transactions, including about 16 road tests. So they were able to help a lot of community members with that. And then we hope to know sometime later this week, hopefully whether when we might be able to open our own DMV office. And that, of course, will inform the decision about whether we ask TurboTax to come back mid-March.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully they'll be at full force to be able to do road tests and that kind of stuff or not.
TurboTags will not be doing CDL road tests.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Abner or the assistant city manager? Councilman Shostein.
Just for clarity, though, our DMV doesn't do CDL road tests either anymore. I believe there's a restriction 8 CDL, which is like a rural CDL the state and the federal government just agreed to, which I think is the new standard for even our DMV when it's open, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know all those details about the different types of CDLs that you mentioned, but I believe our DMV officer does CDL road tests.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, Councilman Coleman?
Yes, thank you. So the Bobby Storrs Harbor has been black for quite some time. I was wondering I have to defer this as Mr. Brown's not here, but what plans are to get power back up and running over there.
All right. My first question was going to be, what did you mean by black?
It's
but you, as you kept talking, I understand the power is out there.
Yes, okay. It has been since the last storm.
All right. As you noted, Mr. Brown, our port director, is absent today. So I will find out what I can, and I'll report back to council via email.
Yeah, thank you. Because the only light that you get out there is just residual light from Unicy. So it's kind of a significant hazard and has been for a bit. So I know we have projects in the works, but we have an interim plan for seeing that is a workable area, or are we going to shut it down? So, I mean, because it needs to be taken under consideration. So thank you. And I'll wait and defer to the next meeting. We can get an answer on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
And do you specifically mean the lighting for the Storrs Harbor?
Yes, there is no, there are no lights.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman, Councilman Tungo.
No question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions or comments? Thank you, Interim City Manager Abner, for your report. Next, we've got item is boards and commission minutes included in the packet, information only, no presentation, and that's from the Library Advisory Committee meeting on November 5th, 2025. Do you have any comments? Direct them directly to the commission library. Next item is community inputs and announcements. It's time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, state your name, and you get 3 minutes.
Good evening, Albert Burnham for PCR. We have a number of programs coming up that I'd like to highlight for everyone. Our first coming up this weekend is our Girls Night Out program on Saturday. That's at the pool. So you can sign up early or pay at the door for that. We also have next week starts our Youth Swim League. So this is the last chance to get your student registered for Youth Swim League. And then coming up in March on the 7th, we have our annual polar bear run, our first race of the season. So we'll have our fingers crossed for good but snowy weather, maybe. So we'll see. That's always nice for the polar bear run, but it has been so nice lately. Then we have over spring break, we have an archery camp and tournament for those in 4th grade through 12th grade. And finally, towards the end of March, on March 21st, we have a community garage sale. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Does anyone else wish to speak in council on Zoom? City clerk?
Thank you, Mayor. On behalf of USAFE, then would like to invite people to soup off It's going to be on March 28th, Saturday. Please don't forget to participate in that. We'll have more details on as the event draws near. So, as far as if you have any questions, feel free to give Yusef a call at 907-581-1500.
Okay, thank you. No further committee input or announcements. Next item is a public comment on agenda items. This time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the regular agenda. Comment later during the regular agenda. You need to sign up, city clerk. Please come to the podium if you have comments. Okay, move on to the next one. This city clerk, are there any written comments or anyone on Zoom?
Not for this portion, sir, but we have some under our public hearing.
Okay, thank you. Next, move on to the next item 10, public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. 3-minute time limit per person. Please come to the podium and state your name.
So we have two people who signed up, sir. Oh, we have Miss versus Miss Lucy Ortiz.
Hi, Mr. Mayor and council members. Thank you for having me. I'm Lucy Ortiz. I'm a teacher at the elementary school. I'm here speaking in support of funding the elementary school playground replacement project. This year, when I came back, when I first went out to watch the kids or supervise recess, one of the kindergartners came up to me and she asked me to tie her or to help her zip her coat. And I was like, what? Why are armpits yellow? Like, what's going on? And I look over and the other kindergartner's armpits are yellow. And then the next one, their armpits are yellow. And I realized the playground from sliding down, the paint is coming off on their jackets every single day. And the paint is one thing, but I'm more concerned about the rust on all of the railings, on the support beams. This is like a true safety hazard. We're not asking for a playground for fun. We're not asking for a playground because this one looks bad. We're asking for a playground because it's dangerous and we want to protect our kids. So please help fund this playground. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm Riley Spetz. I am the elementary principal. That's my second year in that position. I started working with Jolene and the PCR folks on planning the playground last spring is when we first started talking about it. And it was great to, you know, look at new features that could potentially be great to meet the needs of the community. In the last 5 years, we've probably taken one or two pieces of equipment off of the playground every year for safety reasons. The first one I remember was, it was like a big web climber, and it was a way to get onto one of the structures. And so you can't even get on that entrance of the structure anymore. Then we took out, it was a fireman's pole that you could slide down from the top. We had to take that off. I think it got bent. And so that entrance is chained off. There's other webbed climbing areas that were like, it was like a web of chain and the kids could climb up in that section. We had to take that off because the chains broke. There was a gate that blew off of the smaller structure in the last windstorm and we had to remove that. And so the preschool area, you know, Miss Scott has to stand in the door and make sure no kids run out to keep them safe. And so, you know, we're taking stuff off pretty much every year. We've replaced a few swings and, you know, the kids are pretty good at making do with what we have. But what we're noticing now is with the lack of entrances and exits on the main structure, they're really grouping up in certain areas and we're having a lot more collisions of kids running into each other because they're all getting on in the same place and they're all getting off at the same place. And so we are seeing some more incidents of kids running into each other. And, you know, we haven't had any serious injuries this year, thankfully, but, you know, we have been having to watch it really carefully. So I know that Jolene and the staff over there has spent a lot of time meeting and planning that. And I think that it's got to happen sooner or later because it's only a matter of time. But I appreciate your time. And I know that the city council supports the school and all the students, you know, pretty much endlessly. And so, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk about it today.
Thank you, Mr. Spitz. Any further comments in chamber? Are there city clerk, are there any written comments submitted or on Zoom or telephone?
We have two written comments submitted, sir. First off is from Mr. Yuri Zopiak. And my name is Yuri Zokiak, and I am a community member of Unalaska and a school district employee. I am writing to submit a public comment in support of the proposed new playground for Eagles View Elementary School. I strongly support this project. A modern, safe playground is an important investment in our children and in the future of our community. It helps improve physical activity, social development, and overall student well-being. Updated playground equipment and layout will also improve safety and accessibility for students. From an operational and safety standpoint, I recommend that the playground be functionally divided into three zones: a dedicated area for preschool children, an exclusive area designed for children with special needs, and a general activity area for students in grades 1 to 5. This type of zoning will improve safety, supervision, and appropriate use of equipment by age and ability level. As an additional safety measure, I recommend considering construction of a fence along the side near the water drainage ditch. In practice, children often try to retrieve balls or toys that roll toward the area, which creates a recurring safety risk. I also recommend reconstruction or modernization of the existing Northwest Gate, which is currently not in service due to excessive weight and the fact that one staff member cannot operate it safely. Converting this gate to an electrically operated system would significantly improve control, access, staff efficiency, and safety, especially for preschool children and students with special needs during supervised outdoor time. Thank you for considering this practical safety and design recommendation. And
thank you.
Our next comment was received via email from Mr. Carlos Tayag. Dear Unalaska City Council and Mayor, I am writing to you regarding Ordinance 2026-05, the transfer of funds to capital projects to support the expedited replacement of the elementary school playground. As a parent, coach, and president of the local Little League, I interact with our parks and playgrounds frequently. They are essential to my work. I see firsthand how vital this infrastructure is to our community and our children's growth and well-being. I urge you to appropriate the funds necessary to start this project this summer so that a new playground and soccer field will be ready for our children to play, learn, and grow by the start of the 2026-2027 school year. Speaking on this matter, I know that three of our parks, the library, and the parts of the aquatic center had been renovated in recent years. Thank you for your commitment to upgrading these indispensable facilities. I would like to continue to advocate for the updating of all our parks and recreational facilities that badly need updating, including the aquatic center pool, floor and roof, skate park replacement, Tuchakov Field, Kelty Field, and other green spaces that have not been renovated in over a decade or more. Unalaska used to have a reputation for being a place for families and children. Sadly, the quality of our parks and playgrounds had diminished with lack of renovation. These spaces are worth upgrading and making beautiful once again. We need spaces for our children to play and for coaches to teach life skills. These spaces and the programs that function within them are essential to the development growth, and well-being of Unalaska and our citizens. I urge you to please expedite the appropriation of funds for the current elementary school playground and soccer field, and continue to maximize funds and support for parks and recreational facilities in Unalaska. Thank you for your time. Carlos Tayag.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further in writing or on the phone comments?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. The next item after public comments is the public hearing is now open for ordinance 2026-05, creating a budget amendment number 5 to fiscal year 2026 budget to appropriate $2,600,000 from the general fund and transfer $2,600,000 to the capital projects fund for elementary school playground replacement, the amount of $2,600,000. We went through that. That's what we had public comment on, was the replacement of the elementary school. Next item is our work session.
Yes, sir. We're at the work session. You're correct, sir.
Okay. They may have a motion and a second going to work session.
I move going to work session.
Moved by Councilman Coleman.
Second.
Second by Councilman Luby. Is there any objections? Hearing there are no objections. We are on a work session at 6:31 p.m. Presentation. Oh, wait. Is that right?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members, for giving us an opportunity to present. My name is Lauren Rocco. I'm here from Agnubeck Consulting with my coworker Riley Shum. I'll be sharing the screen and giving you a brief presentation to orient you to the healthcare planning assessment project, which we began this past fall. We will cover four topics today. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just seeing a note that's saying to wait just a moment.
This is the acting city manager. While the clerk is getting the technical things worked out, I will say that in May of 2025, council directed the city manager to seek proposals to evaluate and present recommendations regarding a sustainable, high-quality healthcare options for Unalaska. And the planning department issued a request for proposals, and Agnubeck was the successful respondent. Tonight, we have Lauren Rocco and Riley Shum of Agnubeck to give us an update on the healthcare planning assessment. And I think the clerk has their screen up now. So if you would please go ahead and continue. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Sorry for jumping the gun there. Thanks for orienting everyone to why we're here today. As I mentioned, I'm Lauren. I work out of our Anchorage office, and I'm joined by Riley Shum as well. We'll be in Unalaska next week, so we're looking forward to meeting with those of you who are able to speak with us. Today, we'll cover four topics. We want to let you know a little bit about who we are, remind you, though, thank you for that reintroduction, of what the city hired us to do, give you a sense of where we're at in the project overall, and then let you know what's coming next in the project. A little bit about Agnubeck. Our mission is to grow healthy, equitable, and thriving communities. We're an Alaska-based consulting firm. Our four owners are pictured on the right-hand side of the screen. We were founded and began in Alaska, and we currently have offices in the Mountain West. We have two in Alaska, one in Anchorage, where I work, and then one in Soldotna. We have a team of about 30 people who come from a variety of disciplines to support a range of projects in a whole bunch of different areas. Today, we're joined by Riley, myself, and we work most often in the public health sphere, along with the lead on this project, the lead principal, Tanya Iden, who's pictured on the right-hand side. And she and I actually traveled to Unalaska in the fall for a site visit for a overlapping project that we were doing. You can see, oh, thanks. Thanks, Riley. So moving ahead to the final, or excuse me, the next slide here. As was mentioned, we responded to an RFP earlier this spring to complete a healthcare planning assessment that was focused on sustainable healthcare delivery options and to help inform city council members as you entertain a number of funding requests going into this upcoming fiscal year. The key topics that we were assigned to explore were doing an assessment of the current healthcare landscape, exploring a range of options for sustainable healthcare delivery, and how those intersect with remote communities elsewhere. A key part of this project was also looking at various partnership strategies, exploring options to address workforce challenges, and to gather community and stakeholder feedback through an interview process in an outreach effort that will happen next week. And then finally, another area was to lay out some strategic direction for the City Council as you entertain those funding requests. I'm going to hand it over to Riley, who is going to do a deeper dive into what the specific project entails.
Thanks, Lauren. Hi, everyone. My name is Riley. Thank you for having me here this evening. As Lauren just mentioned, this project has been guided by kind of those six key areas, which she just outlined, and you see here on the left. And then within each of these six areas, we have established some guiding questions that are helping to inform our approach and research throughout this project. These key areas are looking at kind of the current healthcare landscape and the limitation of services that are currently being offered. We are looking at successful healthcare delivery models in other rural or island communities and how these could potentially apply or be adapted to meet local needs in Unalaska. We are also exploring opportunities for partnership and collaboration in Unalaska and beyond. We are working to understand the main workforce challenges and pathways to addressing them for a sustainable future. And as Lauren mentioned, a component of this is interviewing community members to understand their experience and perceptions of healthcare in Unalaska, as well as understand community members' priorities for the future. And this last key area, as Lauren mentioned, being kind of a strategic roadmap for what's next, our guiding questions here, really just looking at what recommendations we could offer the city to achieve long-term healthcare sustainability and how progress can be measured over time. So, keeping those guiding questions in mind, the project is structured into three phases, which include an initial research and kind of discovery phase of this work. The second being an analysis of the current landscape and other methods for healthcare delivery or system structures, and the last being recommendations for the city given our findings. And throughout our time in this project, we have and will continue to have regular check-ins and project updates with the city and staff. And you can see here the timeline for this project. We're kicked off in October, and we'll wrap up in April. And along the way, we have had a couple different meetings and workshops that have been in person, as well as some products and deliverables we have been able to share and some updates on our work. And you can see we are just at the end of our work in the month of February, and we'll, like I said, be wrapping things up in April. So jumping back to kind of the phases of the project, we wanted to kind of outline some of the different tasks that we're working on. So early in the work on this project, we developed some guiding questions as well as an interview approach that are informing our work kind of along the way and to structure the interview process. So far, we have completed 13 individual interviews with community members, and have documented the current healthcare services in Unalaska. We are working on exploring unmet needs and gaps in services and researching case studies that can inform models of healthcare delivery based on other rural areas or other island communities. And as part of our analysis work, we'll be hosting a site visit and sharing an overview of the project, some of our initial findings from case study reviews, and as well as some early recommendations, and then engaging in a Q&A to hear back from folks about that. And then the final recommendation phase will wrap up the project with a large cumulative report of all of our research and findings, as well as a presentation to the City Council again in April. And you can see just on the slide here, the different bullet points kind of help show you what we have completed, what is currently underway, and what will be next to continue work in this project. And we just wanted to know, I believe you have all been invited to our community gathering next week, but this is just a friendly reminder that we will be on island next week. We arrive on Monday and we'll be hosting a gathering March 3rd, which is on Tuesday at 4:30 at the Unalaska Public Library. And this will be a little bit more of an in-depth opportunity to hear about our findings so far, some of the case studies we've identified and early recommendations. And if possible to attend, we would love to hear back from as many folks as possible and really engage in some discussion around our findings and get feedback to help inform the remainder of our work on this project. And then you can see under the recommendations phase, we will also be presenting our final research in April at your City Council meeting as well. Curious and wanted to open it up to you all to see if you have questions for us about the project, our current work, our site visit, or anything. And I will also just leave you with, if nothing comes up in this call, Lauren and I are also available by email or phone after this meeting as well.
Well, thank you for the presentation. I'll ask council for their comments or questions. Councilman Tungle?
No question.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing on my end.
Okay. Thank you very much. Look forward to your March and April final.
We do as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll receive public comment, 3 minutes per person. Does anyone present wish to speak? Then, City Clerk, any comments submitted or on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No, we're not.
Okay, thank you. Our next item under our work session is item B, discussion of FY26 funding adjustment, the Unalaska City School District. I'll turn it over to the acting city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll ask the clerk to advance this. It is up to the presentation I prepared for this. There we go. So for FY26, the City Council appropriated a total of, if you go to the next slide, thank you. A total of $6,243,965 to the school district for FY26. That number is made up of two separate amounts. The first is the $4,398,965, which is we'll refer to as the maximum allowable local contribution. And that actually has two elements as well. The first is 2.65 mils of the our taxable real property, and that's required, and then an optional additional 2 mils of the taxable personal property, excuse me, real property, and council appropriated both of those, and then also an additional $1,845,000 for special funding for the community schools agreement, food services, student travel, and preschool. I'm going to go to the next slide, please. So the Alaska Department of Education has a, formulas for all of this. The maximum allowable local contribution or local funding cap is the 2.65 mils. That's required local, plus the 2 mils optional. Now, if we're just talking about the required local, that is, we now know, is defined as the lesser of 2.65 mils of the assessed property or 45% of the state basic need from the previous year. For FY26, the school district budgeted for and the city appropriated the 2.65 mils of the taxable real property as the required local, but 45% of the previous basic need is actually less. So Superintendent Hanisch informed us of this problem in early February, and she had just learned from Deed about this. It has to be the lesser of those two. And so the difference of those two amounts is $45,103. So the district must receive $45,000 less from the city to be compliant. And Kim came up with three different proposed options to cure this problem because the school cannot receive those funds. So the city can simply just reduce the remaining payments for FY26 to accommodate that lesser amount. The city council can decide to appropriate that $45,000 to one of those special funds. And again, that's community schools, food service, student travel, and preschool, or some combination of those two. Kim did assure me that this change in funding and the difference of the $45,000 will not impact their budget, because what the local, what the municipality doesn't appropriate, that will be made up by the state. So the school district's going to be fine. Staff just needs direction from council about which of these options you would like us to pursue. And whatever you decide, we'll come back, we'll bring back, if we need any additional documents appropriated by council or, you know, approved by council, we'll do that. I spoke to our finance director, and if the city chooses the first option, I don't think we need a budget amendment or anything. We'll just reduce the payments for the remainder of the fiscal year. But depending on what you decide, we'll discuss it more internally and decide if we need to bring anything back. And I know Superintendent Hanisch is also here to answer any questions if you have them. But that's all I have. I'm just letting you know about the problem because Kim brought it to our attention, and the council gets to decide how to cure it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we'll start off with our council member discussions and see where we're at with this 45,103. Is that the main target number?
Yeah, $45,103 is what we need to reduce.
Readjust.
For the city to, excuse me, for the school district to receive from the city. We can just reduce their remaining payments to meet that, or council can decide to reappropriate it to one of the other special funds.
Okay, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I've been working with the school on their FY27 budget, and some of the discussions that have come up has been their deferred maintenance that they've had a hard time keeping up with not having enough money in the budget. And, you know, so one of the things that came up was the community schools so that they could use this funding to do some extra maintenance this summer while the schools close. There's a lot of little things that are needing done, and that would go a long ways to help them complete that. If we would be willing to just reappropriate it to community schools. So personally, I would suggest that we do that. It sounds like they really need it. And maintenance was another thing that's probably going to get cut next year of the budget.
Can I respond to that, Mr. Mayor? Superintendent Hanisch and I were discussing that, and that may be a problem for them. But I'm going to ask Kim Hanisch if she would mind coming up to the microphone and letting us know if that is a viable option. Thank you, Kim.
So that is, you read my lips for that part. I'm not going to repeat. That is a viable option. So we have two funds, the general operating budget. That's where we're over amount, because that has the maximum contribution in it. Then we have the special funds that you tell us exactly how to spend that money. And those community schools, a big part of that is our maintenance budget. So it could go there without any problem. And I did check with our business manager, Leticia, on this as well.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, if that's a viable option, that would be, you know, my suggestion, and see how other council members feel about that.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Coleman?
Is there... For the maintenance side of things. Is there specific things that are you would or and what would they be if you were like, this is money from heaven has come down. I really want to see this done. What would those be?
Yeah, a few different things that we would look at. Not major maintenance, because we know that's coming forth through the city, right? So just little things that we could be fixing in the meantime. There's some doors that need repaired, especially in the middle school, high school. There's a couple of them that are sitting about this far above the ground. So when it flooded in that last storm, water was just running in. So that's a little one. Some of the walls are rotting too, but that goes into major maintenance. We have at least five windows, I believe, that are shattered that should be replaced as well. We could spend a little bit on regrading the way it sounds. Don't quote me on this, but my understanding is some of that flooding is because the last time it graded, the roof, all the water comes off because there's no gutters, right? And so it creates a trench back there. So if we graded that to make sure the water's moving away from the building to slow down some of the decay that's happening, those would be the few off the top of my head, some little painting jobs that we could do. There's a lot of miscellaneous things that we could do. Would you like me to name more, or is that okay? Okay.
No, thank you. Just a follow-up question whenever everybody's done.
Councilman, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Shasti.
Thank you. I think Councilman Luby and Superintendent answered my questions related to what the preference would be if we were to reallocate this money. It sounds like community schools is a spot, and I would support that.
Thank you, Councilman Shasti. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, my comments are along the same lines as this money is already from the city's point has been appropriated to the school, so let's use the school wherever you think it would help you the best. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman.
Yeah, thank you. It's just kind of we've already budgeted for it and kind of already spent as far as but I do appreciate bringing it forward. But just kind of more of a little bit of just a educational background from my sense. So the funding from the state, the student-based allocation, right? That got vetoed by the governor, but the veto was overrid, right? So we they got so does that have anything to do with this recalculation or not? Or like how does that play into your budget that we had already or your current budget?
So I think it does, and I haven't gotten to that degree. What I've learned is if basic need is 100%, the state is required to pay 55% of that. That's where that 45% or 2.65, which is lower, right? So if the basic need went up with the base student allocation, I can see their amount going up, and now there's a gap. Because you guys actually did increase funding thinking we wouldn't get that money. So now they said, oh, no, we owe more to you guys, which means the city owes less if they want to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo.
I'll be in full support of doing some maintenance for the school for this money.
Good, thank you. We had some comments earlier that we could use some money for other than with in alongside of in doing school maintenance. There's how is that going to affect without any funds for sports program, traveling, or that kind of stuff. Basketball, of course, is very important too, because it's indoor.
Yeah, I would say at this point, we've been able to maintain our student activities program. The part that we've fallen behind this past year, and that's where this money kind of goes into this fiscal year 26, is really in our maintenance. We just haven't been able to invest in that. But student activities, everything's scheduled, they've gone. And even looking at our ending fund balance and student activities, it's going to be a little bit in the positive this year, is what's projected right now.
Hey, thank you. Any further questions or comments for Superintendent? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. So am I taking it that council wants this money to go to the community schools agreement? All right, we will go ahead and proceed with that, and we'll determine if we need to do any sort of documentation to memorialize that. And we'll bring it back at the next meeting if we need it.
When are we going to act on this particular item after later on?
Yeah, if we need any student, council action, we'll bring it at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Sounds like we'll be supplying the school with 45103, the remaining fund units to the school for the school maintenance program. Minor maintenance, I understand. Major maintenance in the millions, I'm sure. Thank you for your comments. Okay, I'll receive a public comment. Does anyone present wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom, city clerk, or phone or written comments?
No, sir. No one on Zoom, and no one submitted a comment on this.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion and second to return to regular session.
I'll make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Shasteen. Council, are there any objections to moving out of the work session? Hearing no objection, we're back in regular session at 6:56 p.m. We are now on a regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk. You have a 3-minute time limit. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak? Sign up with the city clerk. Okay, the first item is a liquor license renewal. Bear's Den Liquor. There's no action recommended from management. You want to speak to that? Okay. Council, motion is only needed if you wish to discuss this matter or recommend a protest. Staff recommendations, there's no protest. Is there a motion? Hearing no motion. Move on to item B, ordinance 2026-05, second reading. Creating a budget amendment number 5 to fiscal year 2026 budget to appropriate $2,600,000 from the general fund and transfer $2,600,000 to the capital projects fund for the elementary school playground replacement in the amount of $2,600,000. May I have a motion and a second to adopt ordinance 2026-05?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2026-05.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the city manager, acting city manager, for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the title of the ordinance suggests, it requests early appropriation of $2.6 million in project funding from FY27 to FY26 in order to purchase equipment, enter into contracts for installation, and have the playground ready to go before the children will return to school on August 20th, 2026. First reading of the ordinance was accomplished at your last meeting on February 10th, and Council received public comments from community members in support of the project both on February 10th and then again tonight. The ordinance is ready for adoption if that is Council's wish. I'd like to invite Acting PCR Director Albert Burnham to the podium. Albert has a short presentation during which he will respond to Council's questions from the last meeting and provide a bit more detail about what the playground project will provide. His presentation starts at page 38 of your packet if you want to follow along, but Albert, would you join us? Thanks.
All right, well, thank you for the opportunity to address some of the questions and provide a little bit more information for the project. Also, thank you to all those who have submitted public comments, and also to Riley and the school staff for working with us to diligently bring the best project we can forward. Just a little bit of history here for the project. As we mentioned at the last council meeting, all of PCR's projects were temporarily removed from the CMMP so that the master plan could guide their implementation. UCSD also requested that we begin looking at replacement of the playground in May of 2023. Then, through the master plan process, it was demonstrated a strong need for a replacement, including the what they called the level of service indicators, which rated the field as a 1 out of 3 and the playground as a 2 out of 3. One meaning that the field was below expectations, and two meaning that while the playground met expectations, it was acknowledged that it is reaching its end of life. There was also a demonstrated desire to see the playground replaced through all of the community input that was received. And so the project was then added in FY25 with design in FY26 and planned construction in FY27, which is a typical time frame for city projects. Then further work during the design phase was done and indicated that replacing the playground sooner rather than later was the best course of action. In fact, as Riley mentioned, one of our recent windstorms blew off a piece of the equipment that's been put back on several times. He mentioned to me that school staff have repeatedly had to replace bolts on that particular piece. We did discuss alternatives with the school that would have pushed construction off until the next fiscal year. But it was agreed upon that the best course of action, knowing all that we know now, was to seek to get the project completed this summer. And so that's what brought us to this current budget amendment. Just a little bit then about what we get, or what we're getting for our money. We're getting a well-built, engaging playground structure. This type of playground structure is desperately needed, and especially in our day where it's hard to get kids to engage much beyond the screens of their phones and devices. This playground will promote healthy and imaginative play both during the school day and beyond, as this would serve as a destination playground for the community, not just for the school. We have specifically sought to incorporate those elements in this playground that were mentioned by the students during the master plan process. And again, this will increase student engagement with the structure, as this is the playground that they wanted us to build. Next slide. We also, this is implementing of the master plan. This helps to meet goals 4.3A and 4.4D in the PCR's master plan, which is adopted by council. And it also increases the level of service for the field and the playground to a 3, which is excellent. Next slide. As far as the field goes, there were some questions about the field. There are many benefits to the turf field, the primary among those being the excellent drainage. Especially in our wet climate, this would allow play to resume much sooner after storms and even in between periods of rain. Also, it will lead to less mud and debris being tracked back into the school building, reducing times of transition as students won't have to spend as much time dealing with muddy shoes and clothes. While this field does require some maintenance, it is significantly less. I've worked with our representative, sales representative, and there is required for this field is periodic brushing. They estimate annual or less for our location. That is a device that can be dragged behind a mower or any other kind of four-wheeler type device that simply brushes, mixes up the top of the turf surface, keeps it all from getting laid down in one direction. And then there is every year or 2 years, you can add some more infill, which is the little rubber pellets, or they even said if sand is cheaper for us to find, you can use sand. And those are the two major maintenance things that have to happen. I think those are well within the school's ability to do. Again, these require much less care than a typical grass field, especially the grass on top of gravel, as you can see from the field at the high school park. Those can be difficult to maintain here. This is also less susceptible to surface wind loss of the grass, as the wind can significantly affect the grass as it's growing. And also, this field can expand community use, as PCR would, for example, seek to use that field for summer soccer programs and those kind of things. And then lastly, just a little bit about pricing and value. There were some questions about the Omnia pricing. This is pricing that has gone through a competitive bid process and does meet the stipulations set forth in the city's purchasing policy. We have used Omnia pricing for the library project. We purchased the furniture through Omnia pricing. It's also been used in several Alaska communities, such as the Anchorage School District, the Fairbanks Parks and Rec Department, and also the city of Ketchikan, and is used widely in the nation as a cooperative purchasing partners. I've also included here a comment on the economy that is found in the existing Omnia contract, stating that the goal of this program is to provide a pricing advantage and an efficient alternative to proposals and solicitations of bids. And then one other benefit that we get through the Omnia pricing is their contract does require the playground equipment providers to maintain a supply of replacement parts for the playground for 15 years after it's purchased. And so we would have replacement parts available to us should they be needed. Obviously, we would hope that they wouldn't, but that is one of the difficulties with playground products, is that once those things go out of production, it can be hard to get replacement pieces should a plow bump into something. And so that is a specific benefit of the Omnia pricing. And then one last note, I just wanted to make a note that this playground is not full of a bunch of custom pieces that we've asked them to special design for us. This was put together using mostly their stock pieces assembled to make a very creative and engaging playground. And so with that, I'm happy to hear any other questions that you might have.
Hey, thank you, Albert. Council comments or questions for Albert? Of Councilman Chastain.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this forward. A couple things to know. Well, question. This is two parts, and both run related. Who's going to be responsible for the maintenance of the playground?
The school is responsible for the maintenance, and that's by city code.
The other thing, whether it was intentional or not, I kind of appreciate the dinosaur being incorporated into the playground, and that there's actually a dinosaur that was discovered at Eagle View School, although different than the one in the picture, and named after the community here. So
yeah, that was one of the things that we had looked at, speaking to the custom pieces. They had offered to make some of the pieces more customizable to here, but that was a pretty significant expense. But they have used dinosaurs that are found within the state of Alaska. So
yeah,
it is a bit local.
I appreciate that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Shastia. And Councilman Coleman?
So there was public comment regarding the design. And I was wondering if you recognize those comments. Is there anything you can address those, and one of them particularly to special needs?
There are, this playground is compliant with ADA requirements. As you can see, some of the swings here are designed to be accessible, and other components of the playground are designed in an accessible way. You wouldn't typically create a space unique to that because you don't want to isolate individuals who may have different disabilities. The goal is to incorporate them and play with the rest of the folks, but it is an ADA compliant playground.
And when did you guys start getting together to discuss options on how the design would be?
Yeah, we've been working with the school, I believe, since last spring. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure exactly when those first meetings were, but yeah, last spring.
Thank you. Nothing else for...
Thank you. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. And the big thing that catches me is just the understanding of why we moved this forward to FY26. I know for myself and maybe some other counselors, when we start moving CMNP projects around after it's already been debated and discussed and, you know, approved, that there's concern that either it's being moved for for either monetary reasons or, you know, we missed something in that process. I support this project moving forward, and I'll support appropriating these funds. As far as I wanted to touch on the comment too about you know, additional improvements to the playground, it would probably be hard to do at this late point to do that. But going forward in future years, I would support, you know, if there's other projects that need to be to enhance and improve this playground. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I was just a couple of things. I was kind of you said you need a brush. There's a brush that's for the soccer field. Would that be included in this, or
is it's that not be that additional piece cost? Of equipment cost about $2,000, give or take, and wouldn't be needed for another year or two. So it was not included in the bid package, but not a hard piece of equipment for the school to purchase.
Okay, and then the other one is this design. You know, we heard how, you know, the storms affect the playgrounds and stuff, and I just noticed in some of them, there it looked like a tin roof on one of them, and I'm just wondering, is it built for a certain wind load, or, you know, to, you know, be out, so that if we have a windstorm, it's not going to blow it apart, right? So is there any kind of design for that, or engineering for a certain wind load?
Sure. I couldn't give you numbers off the top of my head, but I do know, for example, when we built the playground over at Sitka Spruce Park, that boat has sails on it. And so they had to make sure that all of those pieces would comply with the winds that they could be subjected to here.
Okay. Yeah, great. No, and, you know, and I know it's really hard when we're planning capital projects and things. We all know it takes a little while, and the new budget doesn't start till July. So most of the time when you're planning a budget, you know, it's not going to happen, and, you know, right away because of planning purposes and lead time to get things. So I would support it. But like Councilman Bell had said, you know, we have kind of a process and try to stick with that. And it kind of makes you leery when you're moving stuff, you know, capital projects around, because those are big expenses. And so it'd be nice to be able to plan a little bit better on those, knowing that you aren't really didn't start till May. You know, we're pretty much done with the CMMP for last year anyway at that point. But and it really needs it with the, we don't want any kids getting hurt, or you know, even any adults. So I would support it for moving it up.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tuggle.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So you said the school gonna do be providing the maintenance for this, Albert?
Yeah, according to the city code, the schools are required to provide their general maintenance. The city's responsible for replacement and major maintenance.
So they have the crew that be able to do this kind of maintenance, or they outside source it?
That would be up to the school, but from my understanding, I don't think that most of these things are more than a one-man job, and they don't need to be performed even on an annual basis. So I think that it's manageable.
Okay. And the other thing, it's going to be accessible after school hours?
Yes.
So who's going to be, is there no liability for the school if anybody get hurt on that?
As it would fall under whatever the existing, there are students, or my kids are homeschooled, and we use that plenty of times after school. They're looking forward.
So parents' responsibility after that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. You have a photo where this, I understand you'll be moving a lot of the structures that are there now out, and then where would these sit in a similar area? Or I know that the field itself looked like you're talking about raising it or putting a drainage system, or is that the vista?
The field is already raised, and so it's more repairing the surface of that and then putting in the turf. And then as far as the playground goes, it fits mostly within the existing footprint. There was a little bit of an expansion of the padded tiled area to the be the northwest corner of the playground in front of where the existing pavilion is, that's got some of the swings and the other standalone implements on it, but it is pretty much fitting within the existing playground. We even had to work around the light poles that are there. That became one of the things that we had to design it around what was existing and couldn't be moved.
Good. Thank you. The other question I had is on the fencing. Are you going to repair some of the fencing, or do you have materials to do that?
A fence is not currently in the project. I don't know. It may be something. This is going to be a tight budget-wise anyway. We've worked really hard with the playground provider to get it within the existing budget that we had set. But we're continuing to look at ways to reduce the price of the project, and we'll continue to consider how we might be able to accomplish some of those things.
Yeah, I asked that because several times I've been up there and the kids are out on just before lunch usually. Balls are kicked into the gutters off to the hillside and also on the backside. And the kids are running through that area. I'm concerned that that used to be an area where they had military structures and they're just buried there. Some of it looked like showing up in some of the photos, old quantum hat pieces coming out of the ground now due to erosion. I think it's something that the school district and the city might want to look at. Take some of the old wiring from fencing or whatever they've got, anything, to keep them contained with a safe area instead of let them run off and look for a basketball or a soccer ball on the side of the hill. You know, it's just what kids do, I guess, but certain about that. So I'll just make it a point. You can check into it if you want.
I do think it's something we can really try and
pull. Okay. Any further questions or comments? Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. Not a question, just a comment here. So, yeah, the whole budgeting process and the CMMP is in place for a particular reason. And had this was on the CMMP. It was slated for coming up this next year. And that is a good time, even though it is at a placeholder at $2.6 or $2.8 million. A lot of times when it comes to the cycle, it's looked at again to see if that is a viable cost, and you look at other plans and say, well, you know, that's not gonna fly this year. What other options do we have? And so now that it's looked to move forward, we've negated that process because a design has already been brought forward to us for consideration. So to go forward, I would have to look at this as that we would be dipping into our reserves for a significant amount of money just to move it forward a year other than the planned process. So the process is important to me, but there was a lot of public comment on this, and I take that very seriously. And it's really important to me. You know, people want to build a Ferris wheel. It's your money. We'll build a Ferris wheel. So sounds like they want to, people want this playground this summer. I'll support that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Tungo, one more round.
No, I'll be in full support of this with this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. The information. Next, finish with council discussion. Okay, we'll move on. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, sir. We have Mr. Thomas Rufus.
Okay, Thomas.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thomas Rufos is the chair of the PCR Advisory Board. Thank you again for renominating me to that board. Honestly, I was prepared to come up here and give you the fire and brimstone speech of how we need this playground and it's a safety issue. And it seems like you understand that and you've gotten it. And I really appreciate that you have taken those comments to heart. The the most telling thing and really the most striking thing is in the last presentation, there was a picture of one of the bolts holding a railing up, and it had rusted entirely around the bolt. The bolt wasn't actually holding anything up. And if a kid goes to lean on that, you know, or really fall and try to grab that, we're, you know, they're going to get seriously hurt. So, again, I appreciate that you've heard this and that you've really taken this to heart, because the reality is this playground had gotten to the point where after the end of this year, we likely would have had to shut it down. The risk versus reward of keeping it open was running out. So, you know, the change of the budget, moving it forward for 2 or 3 months was not worth that math. It really didn't work out. So, again, thank you very much. I appreciate your guys' positive outlook and your support for this and taking the time to really break it down for us and for the community and listening to public comment from the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Any further questions or comments from the chambers? Any on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No one on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. I think this is well a project that needs to get done, and I, for no other reason, for the safety of our young people and having to deal with them when I was younger. I know they can get into anything and anywhere and get out of it and cut some bruises, and that's not what we want to send them home with at our school. So thank you. Next is I'll restate the motion and request a roll call vote. This ordinance 2026-05, second reading, creating a budget amendment number 5 to fiscal year 2026 budget and appropriate $2,600,000 from the general fund and transfer $2,600,000 to the capital projects fund for the elementary school playground replacement in the amount of $2,600,000. Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Coleman. The request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yes, and with this vote, the council has adopted ordinance 2026-05. Thank you very much for all the comments and concerns for our community's young people. Next, resolution 2026-12, approving the council's goal for fiscal year budget 2027 budget. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2026-12.
Move to adopt resolution 2026-12.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our interim manager, Mr. Hogue, would like to address council on this resolution.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you, Mayor and Council. This item, Resolution 2026-12, was postponed from the 2-10 February 10th meeting and will adopt the fiscal year 2027 budget goals. These goals reflect the direction that Council provided during our previous work session on January 27th, and these will establish the framework that staff uses to develop the FY27 operating capital budget. Continue to focus, as we've discussed before, on maintaining balanced general fund, managing operating costs, addressing deferred maintenance, and aligning capital planning with the CMMP. I did want to give you a brief update before you take action to address the question that was raised during the February 10th meeting regarding the number of FTEs that were listed in the draft goals. The draft on that date showed 176.5 FTEs, and council recalled that the number should have been reduced to 175.25 based on action that was taken during the adoption of the FY26 budget. I reviewed the June 24th meeting video recording and ordinance 2025-05 and confirmed that the council did amend the FY26 budget where you removed three positions, including one that was vacant and slated for reclassification under that proposed budget. When staff updated the published budget, that reclassified position was mistakenly included in the budget, but it has remained vacant. And after this issue came to light, I directed that the posting be removed and the position eliminated from the current budget. The corrected FTE count for of 175.25 is now reflected in that budget goal document that you'll be discussing and adopting tonight. And that is all I have for you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Abner. Appreciate that information. Council discussion, any questions or comments on the resolution 2026-12 as presented? Councilman Tuggle?
No question.
Thank you, Councilman Tuggle. Okay, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
None? Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion, adopt resolution 2026-12, approving the council goals for fiscal year 2027 budget, as reviewed by the interim city manager. I request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yep.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of five yeses. With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2026-12. Before we move on to council directives, I'll need to appoint to a scholarship committee on the school board to help with their budget, I guess, March 20th at 2:30 p.m. At least one council member to work with the committee will receive a packet on March 18th. I asked Councilman Coleman earlier. I don't know what she decided.
Not the new guy?
What's that?
And the other.
anybody want to volunteer or you going to take it?
I'll do it.
You'll
this
do it?
Year. This year.
Okay.
Yes.
Remind me next year. All right. Okay, I appoint Councilman Coleman to the committee at the school board level for the budget review and help the school scholarship committee. Same thing. No. Okay, scholarship committee. All right, next we'll go move on to our item here is directives to the city manager. If there are any directives, they have to be by motion and a second and a roll call vote. None? Okay, thank you. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council. Anyone in the chambers make announcements? I'll mention that Councilman Tungo, Councilman Chastain, myself, and interim city manager will be leaving a community on possibly Thursday now with the weather coming in order to make our flight connections. We'll be out for a week or more, probably March 9th, depending on the weather, but we will be out of town. That's all I had. Any further announcements? Having completed all the items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 7:29. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.